What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
You never get to press the button.
I know. I don't know. I feel so much pressure.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babe.
How are you?
I'm good. It's so weird when you are at my house.
Is it more comfortable here or at your house?
No, it's more comfortable at your house.
Is it?
Yeah. Like 100%.
I'm more comfortable here too. I guess
really?
I don't have to do anything.
Oh, so you're fine.
I just show up.
I think it's also because like I'm in an apartment and we're literally staring at my bed where Tom and I have sex. So it's just like weird. Like you're in my bedroom right now.
No. I mean, I don't think it's weird.
Like all my fucking shoes over there.
I know. In your closet.
Like, what do you think? What did you think when you first went to my house and got to see like how I live?
Well, you live like I did before I was married.
Okay.
My house looks like you've been in my house.
Yeah.
Like when I was having my apartments, like I loved it. It looks like it. It smells like it. Like it's the same.
Does
it's
it
the
smell
same
good?
Vibe.
Does the house smell good? Okay, good.
I mean,
good,
I always
good,
had
good.
Like crystals and incense and fucking oils. And I mean, I'm a hippie dippy chick too. Remember?
Yeah.
I'm just a little bit older, so now it's turned into like everything's like clean and sanitized.
Yeah.
And blah blah blah, and everything's psychotically fucking organized because I have such bad anxiety. I can't deal.
Ugh, I wish that was us. I feel like we have too much shit. I have too much stuff. There's like so much stuff, but then I never
purge.
Wear any of this.
Purge.
But I can't get rid of it.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I have that issue with like I can't. I'm like I'm gonna need it at some point in my life.
Well, how about every time you bring something in, which is what I do, I get rid of stuff.
I don't know.
She just broke out in a sweat.
I mean, those hats. I'm actually gonna start making a hat company, y'all. Y'all yeah, heard it here first.
The list.
Fedoras, but I'm gonna make them all like horror themed, like hats. And I'm going to start bringing them at cons.
Cool.
Yeah. Because I get so many compliments on my fedoras. And so I was like, fuck it. I can make this.
Yeah.
Like, I could amp this up and make it like horror-esque.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Throw some blood on it.
Yeah. And I got some patches and stuff. Yeah, I'm gonna start doing it.
Yeah,
hopefully this will like become my thing
for like the cool kids that wear these dope hats.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah.
So Danielle is here because she's working on a top secret thing. I don't even know if we can say if it's a movie or a TV show.
I can't say yet.
I teased it today, or actually this
is going to play on Tuesday, so a couple days from now. So we weren't on last week because I was prepping for filming, which kind of came about last minute, and Scout was at Disney World and running around at Spooky Empire. So I wrapped early today, and I'm in LA and hit her up, and here we are. So we're back.
How did you feel being on this top secret set?
I was like excited, but still felt like a guest. Like it wasn't my thing, but I like have such a close relationship to it. So it was a little bit, I don't know. It's like, imagine quite a few years from now, 20 something years, they redo another Halloween and mm-hmm. you're there to do like a couple scenes. You know what I mean? And like somebody else is playing you, and you know, it's like you almost like, I don't want to interfere. Yeah. I don't want to like, but like they're all there because we fucking started it. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, it was interesting, but I on my way out, I saw another cast member. I was very excited to see him, and we were very excited, and all the producers were geeking out and taking pictures, and they were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. So it was pretty cool to, it's just cool. It's weird, but it's cool.
Yeah, I bet. I think about that if they ever redid Sleepover.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, such great iconic people were in that movie. I'm like, oh, that'd be so cool.
Now imagine if you go, you're only there for a couple of days, and you're not playing, someone else is playing you, you know, and you're like, just, you're a guest, but like, again, it's like, I'm protective over it.
Yeah, totally.
So it's, but I love it because I love it so much, but it's definitely.
And this is something that people recognize you from.
All the time.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
And more so even recently.
Which is odd. I've noticed that when we're at cons together, a lot of more people are like talking about this sort of
usually
movie.
Right around summertime.
Oh, okay.
These things kind of come.
My God, everybody's totally just like, everybody's like, what are you, what is it? Which one is
I'm pretty sure they'll be able to figure it out.
Which one is it?
I can tell you.
Oh, but it's going to be so exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited that I'm finally going to have movies back in the theater. Got two movies coming out in the theater this year.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah. And like,
finally.
What is it?
Natty Knox.
So that's got
a theatrical release.
Fuck yeah. Is it selected or all theaters?
I don't know.
Well, we have to go see it.
It's in like one.
We have to go see it.
For sure. I'm excited. You know, I was telling David the other day that I went from playing like, I never had babies in movies. Mm-hmm. I went to right up to having like teenagers. Like I missed the like young mom roles, and now my kids that are in movies are literally teenagers. Like I have two teenage kids in the movie that I just did.
But I feel like you would not have the do you feel like that?
I mean,
like being a mom to a teenager?
Well, okay, so
or is it because you're my mother? You're like, yes, God, I've done it for fucking years with your ass.
I mean, you know, I got pregnant when I was 18. So, so let's see, 18, 28, 38, 39, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46. So I could realistically have, was that a 28-year-old? Yeah. Is that right? Did I do the math right?
I don't know, but that's crazy.
Yeah. That's nuts. I know. Maybe I didn't do the math right.
Wait, no.
I'm an actor.
No way.
I'm horrible with math.
They're like, I'm going to get my. That's a 10-year-old,
yeah,
y'all.
Exactly.
That's a 10-year-old.
Wait, I'm going to get my calculator.
Okay, well, she figures out the age. Tom and I, it was so crazy. We went to Florida for Disney World and went to a park a day. And we did this because Tom was signing at Spooky Empire and I wasn't signing for the first time.
Is it nice to just like not like just to like be in the room and chill, or did
it
you
was
want
weird
to be
I kind of it was weird and I think it was because people kept on coming up to me, so I felt like I don't know, and I also felt like I was like taking away from people that were there. I was like, oh, I need to fucking get out of here, like, you know. And I did, so I stayed in my room the entire time. But then I attended some of the parties and stuff like that, but it was still so much fun.
But don't you worry, guys, we're both gonna be back at Spooky Empire in Orlando
in October
for Halloween.
Yes, and we're doing a Talk Scary to Me live event. I am so bloody excited to
first we're doing a Talk Scary to Me live event in
oh, yeah.
Las Vegas.
In Vegas, y'all. I actually have the information right here.
Scout is going to be there filming, and we have one day, and I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to come out. So we're going to come out. I'm going to come out on Saturday, and we're going to do a signing at
Monster Museum.
Monster Museum, Tom's Museum, and then we're going to do a live scary event. I talk scary to me live late night after dark.
And that is July 1st, and it's 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Guys, please come out and hang out with us and give us hugs and bring us some tequila.
It's some July 4th Vegas weekend, tequila. You guys. Come celebrate and then come into the... We're selling tickets, so we'll have everything posted up on our Instagram soon, and but it'll be fun.
Yeah,
glad we could work it out, you know, with your schedule and all of that stuff.
And yours? Well, are you kidding me?
Both of us. Yeah, you know, I'm like, woohoo!
And now we're doing a movie together that just kind of
we're doing a movie together too. I know. That's Dee Wallace.
I know when Dee approaches. In, yeah, when Dee approaches you at a con behind your table and goes, "Hey guys, there's this movie."
Would you? And you're like, sure. Whatever. She's like, really? You'd be surprised. I'm like, who wouldn't do that for you? She's like, you'd be surprised. Yeah. A lot of people were like, no, I don't get out of bed for less than $50,000.
It's crazy.
I'm like, whatever.
It's crazy. Are we ever going to be like that? Like,
no.
Like if we got like one of us got that series or got that big movie, would you
Fuck
ever?
No.
I feel like no. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Dude, the movie that I just finished, it cost me money to do it.
Yeah.
I paid for my flight. I bought my wardrobe. And I just want to be part of it.
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
Doesn't matter to me. I made scale, and it literally cost me more to bring myself here. I'll have to pay my agent out of my pocket. So who cares? Who gives a shit?
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Doesn't
that's
matter.
Great.
But, you know, we can only do that because we have conventions.
Yeah.
Because of you guys, like Christine was saying on our last episode 2 weeks ago, like, if it wasn't for that, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to be in the business.
Yeah.
I would literally not be able to do movies anymore because there's just no way to survive.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, now things are getting nuts with the strikes that, I mean, I live in Los Angeles, so I'm passing it all the time. But obviously it's a long time coming. But I don't know if you remember the last strike that this happened. It was like 6 months.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I think it was longer than that.
I feel
it?
Like this.
I thought it was 10.
Yeah. This might be like a copycat of that. I think it might be.
Well, I think SAG's going to go, and then I heard DGA might go, so I don't know. But it has to happen. It has to happen for things to be changed.
It definitely has affected me with my work. I had a few movies lined up, and now they are just kind of they're retracting.
That's right.
I was literally supposed to leave today to go film something.
Oh, shit.
And then it just kind of all fell through, and it's just, it's really disheartening as well, because you're like worried, you know?
Well, you want to support, you know, the writers, and without them, we don't have anything.
Yeah.
So, but it's difficult to go like, when am I going to work again?
I know.
Am I going to starve to death?
Yeah.
You won't. Don't worry. We won't. We'll be fine.
It's just crazy. It's just usually, you know, we have things like lined up or whatever, but
I never count on anything until I'm like on the plane.
I know you've taught me that, and I should probably do that.
Yes.
Because I put too much like faith in other people.
Right.
I'm like, this is, they said
I don't ever put anything in the book that you tell me you're doing. Ever.
That's crazy.
I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, let me know.
I know. I wish, but I feel like if I went through life like that, I would not trust anyone anymore.
Oh, but I don't think it's trusting. I think it's just knowing that things shift and you have to pivot quickly.
Yeah.
So until...
Well, I'm used to it.
And something will come up in another way if that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know. I always say, like, we're not in control of this life.
Yeah.
You're just not. And it's very difficult for people that are I'm A type, so it's hard to feel like, oh God, someone else is making this happen. But I feel like everything happens the way it's supposed to. I mean, I kind of hate that saying, like, but at this, you know, because there's a lot of awful things that shouldn't be happening to people.
Yeah.
But I think one day we'll have it all figured out, and that will be the day that we die. We're gonna be like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Talk about fucking things changing. My bachelorette party just fucking changed.
See?
Changed, I think, for in the favor of the bridesmaids. I think so.
So Scout ruined her surprise, of course. This is what happens when you are an A-type control freak and you plan your own shit and you won't let anybody do anything because you're afraid they're not going to.
No,
you don't.
No, but I had to plan this. I had to because Zion is flooded. the Narrows is flooded. Right. So that hike is out. So I had to figure out something that you girls were going to have fun doing. So I was like, well, fuck, we're flying into Vegas. Magic Mike. We'll go see Magic Mike.
If you guys are listening, if anyone has any connections in Vegas.
Yes, hotels.
Scout's bachelorette party. Well, you're not invited. But if you, if you.
Maybe. You might be.
I mean, it depends on what the hookup is. We're looking for strippers. We're looking for lots of penises. She wants penises everywhere, not real life
Tom
ones.
Is going to storm into this room right now and go, no more dicks.
We're going to go to Magic Mike. You have the tickets, right?
Yes, okay, we got the tickets. But then my buddy who dances with Magic Mike, he's no longer dancing right now because he's on a TV show. He just messaged me last night and was like, hey, I think I might be able to get those for you for free and get your money back. So just let me work on it for a second.
I just want to get you. You have to get on stage.
Yeah.
And they have to do something to you. They do. They just do.
Oh, my God, Tom. Tom, close your door.
So, guys, Scout planned her bachelor party in Zion, which, like, yes, that's her type of 5 days, which is why we're all going and doing all of that athletic
Thank
stuff.
Thank you.
But there's still something nice about a little bit of a naughty bachelorette party.
Well, like, that's why I thought y'all were going to get naked and give me dances.
Well, that'll still happen. I was coming to LA to surprise her and her two other bridesman and bridesmaid were going to kidnap her, essentially, and put her in the back of the car, blindfold her, and I was going to throw a party for her at Jumbo's Clown Room.
That is amazing.
I wouldn't think that you would want dicks. I thought you'd want some, like, you know, hot boobies in your face. I was like, you're going to be married. You're going to have dick the rest of your life. Might as well get some tits rubbed on you for a little bit.
Do you know I've never been to Jumbo's?
Oh, really? Jumbo's
no,
Clown Room?
I've never been there. I think I was too... I was too young.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun and wrong, and the girls are hot, and it's just a good time.
But
it's
I do like burlesque shows. I really do like burlesque shows. I think they're fantastic. I wanted to do burlesque for the longest time.
Oh, we should write that into one of our stories.
Done. Which, by the way, the script is in the process.
Yeah, did you have your meeting?
Yeah.
20th, right?
Yeah.
Good.
It's in the process. It's being written. Hopefully, we'll have it in the next few months, and then we can start fucking filming next
year.
We should
try to shoot for like December.
Are you scared?
No.
I'm not either. I'm so stoked. I don't know. It's like this will be like your first baby with this sort of thing.
Yeah, fuck it. We could do it.
I think it's going to be fun.
I think
it's going to be
great. I'm not really scared of anything. Like, I'm not scared to like throw myself into something and try. I don't hesitate at that kind of stuff. Fuck it. Just do it. Look, I moved to fucking Texas. Like, I was there for 2 days and bought a house. I was like, fuck it. Packing up. Moving.
So crazy.
I'd only been there one other time. Like, you just got to do it. And if you fuck up or you make mistakes, you learn and you move on and you do it differently the next time.
Yeah.
I only regret things that I don't do. I don't regret things that I do.
What is this aura that you have around you right now?
What do you mean?
Like, you have like a different aura around you. It's beautiful.
Oh,
it is gorgeous.
I know what it is.
It's nice. It's beautiful.
I totally know what it
is. It's ballsy. I literally thought you were pregnant because you have like the, you know what they say, like the pregnant glow?
No, I started Xanax.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding, but that's not why it is.
No, but there is. There's like a different like little energy about you. It's nice.
I just feel like there's something a-brewing. Do you ever get that where you're like, some good shit's about to happen and I have some feelers out for some things, but I feel like I'm on like something, some good fortune's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm going to make it happen and I have ideas. And
everybody's like, can you just please put it our way? Put the energy towards it.
Yes.
That's great.
So
that's good.
You know, again, it's like you just kind of have to just make it happen. I get excited to be creative.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I just got off of set. I haven't been on set in a year.
Yeah.
So it's like I start to get depressed. I start to get like heavy. Yeah. Start to like I don't have that creative juices flowing as much as I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was super nervous shooting today. I don't know why. Like, again, I had like 5 lines, but I just felt like, I don't know. You know, I feel like when you have less lines for me and it's like your only scenes that I do better when I've got more time to like settle into it.
Yeah.
Then I get comfortable. But when you're like, you know, you've only got like 2 shots or 3 shots and this is like your big thing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, there's a lot of pressure to like make sure that I get it right.
Yeah.
And it's not horror, you know, so I'm not as comfortable in those situations.
Well, now you just gave it like what you slimmed it down there,
I slimmed
Danielle.
It down. I
you
know.
Just slimmed it down.
You guys will you'll
or
figure it out.
Is she
or
just joking?
I am just trying to throw what is it a red herring?
Yeah, just trying to throw
a
you off the
herring,
trail,
a
y'all.
Red herring.
It wasn't what you thought.
Nope, nope. You'll be very surprised. Put it that way.
Oh, I get that. It's interesting because I was just thinking about this, and I think we've talked about it as well. I definitely get depressed when I'm not working.
Yeah.
But then when I'm working so much,
you want to be normal.
Yeah. So like, where is that happy medium? Because I feel like out of my body right now because I don't know like the next job that I'm going to do. And I'm like, I've got to do fucking hats. I got to do something or else I'm just not feeding this thing that's
right.
That is creative.
Right, right.
I
right.
like being creative.
Yeah.
So me, I don't want to go get a fucking job at like, you know, bussing tables just because it just doesn't feed me
right,
the
right,
way
right.
that I want to be. I can find other things that will, you know, feed that part of me so I won't shrivel up.
You're not going to shrivel up. You've got so many fun things going on. I mean, you're coming to Austin. You've
yeah.
got your bachelorette party. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's happening.
Yes.
What day is your move? Is the premiere for
the 17th?
The 17th.
Are you coming?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. I think it's 2 to 7.
When does it like be? When is it released?
Texas Chainsaw. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I apparently there's a tester going out this week where people are able to play the game, but my character is not available and she's not ready yet. But they haven't announced who I'm playing. So that's weird. But let me see here. When is it released? Let's see. I think it's in August is when it's released. Yeah, August 18th is when it's released, the Texas Chainsaw video game. And guys, this video game was so... Have you done a video game before?
No.
Bro, it was so fucking hard.
I know you told me. You
it
got,
was
like,
so
beat
hard.
The shit out of him. I'm glad
it
that
was
I didn't do it.
Insane. Insane. But it was so much fun and I would do it again. But it took a lot out of me physically.
How is it different than being on a film?
I mean, you're filming, you're doing the entire movie in 7 days.
Right.
You know, and...
are they just talking you through the beats? Are you saying dialogue? Like, are you doing dialogue after you do all the mocap stuff?
So after the mocap. So they're just talking. Okay. So there's you know, all the creative people are on this Zoom and they are giving us directions of what looks good, what doesn't. Repeat that, fix that, do slower.
The physical stuff.
Yeah, the physical shit. Okay. All physical. And I am playing all of the females. So it's my body. It's my motion that's doing all of the females.
Right. Do they want like real tears, real screams, real?
Yeah.
All
so they
of
were
that?
Filming behind the scenes stuff.
Oh.
So I think they're going to do like behind the scene, you know, kind of like making of. So they wanted it to genuinely be like you were making a movie, you know, which is great. But doing that in like 7 days and, you know, my character playing all the female characters. And they're all different, you know.
And they're all right.
They all move different, you know. All
right.
This stuff. I'm not voicing all of them, but
right.
I'm playing all of them, and I'm getting killed by each of the family members in different fucking ways. By and being one of those girls.
How many times did you get killed,
dude? I lost count, and I don't know which one they're gonna use. You know, they also like would be like, okay, try this way of dying with this character. That didn't work. Let's like adjust it and do it this way. That didn't work. Let's do it. So I don't even know which one they're gonna be using or anything. It was.
You're like, guys, I'm done. I can't. I don't know.
It was exhausting. It was really, really, really tiresome. And then we had to do reshoots while I was filming in Kentucky. So then I had to fly. You remember that? I had to fly
which time?
Back.
The first, second, third, fourth, or fifth time you were shooting in Kentucky.
It was my first time. My first okay. time in Kentucky filming that movie with Chrissy.
Okay.
And I had to catch a red eye and go to set and then catch a red eye back and film straight from the airplane. It was, and that was just mortifying. But then when you get in the booth, you're doing an entire movie that
yeah.
we film. Now it's 3 weeks to 3 months to 6 months in 2 hours.
Yeah. It's crazy.
My voice was gone.
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 Yeah.
And
it's really hard.
Yeah. And I didn't do anything that day.
And you're doing all your struggle sounds, mm-hmm. all your running and you're hyperventilating and you're screaming yeah. and grunting and the fights, pretending to do all the fight stuff. And you're beating yourself up in the room.
Yeah.
To make it real.
Yeah. I was watching some round table, with some male actors, and it was interesting. Like, they were asking, they were like, how do you get yourself out of it? You know, and Evan Peters was like, it takes him a while to get out of like his dark characters. Mm. And he was like, he's only played dark characters.
Right.
You know, because he's so good at it. And he was like, I want to play something lighter. Like, yeah. that's my next gig, you know? And I think about that. I was like, I mean, how do you release that sort of thing? Or does it stay with you? Even if you think that you got rid of it, it still has weighted down yeah. your energy, your body. Like, it's put on a lot of weight, even yeah. though you probably think that you, like, I'm done, I'm happy,
well,
I left it.
Your adrenals are going crazy.
Yeah.
You're in fight or flight mode. I always say, like, your body doesn't know that you're acting.
Yeah.
So all your cortisol levels are going crazy. I think that's what it's called. Like, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I maybe I don't get out of it as quickly as I think. I mean, I have to, like, sleep it off. But I definitely feel like maybe I just, like, hold it together until the end of the shoot. And then I end up getting sick. And then it's poison. Mm-hmm. It's poison for your body. Because we want it to be real.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just act it, and you can't either. Mm-mm. So, but at the same time, it's my safe place and I'm super comfortable doing it. So maybe my body is just like, that's what it knows. It knows how to reset itself quickly.
I think it's from being like kid actors. Kid actors.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, while kids are in school learning to be doctors and lawyers and all this stuff, we're learning how to
smile after you have been crying for 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And laugh like as though you're a crazy person.
Exactly. Like, that's not normal.
It's not normal, right? But what's
no
normal?
Wonder. I don't know. I have no idea. But I guarantee you there's parents out there that if they saw their kids being taught this sort of emotional shit.
Oh, yeah. No.
And that this is what you need to do and you need to be on it at all times. Like, they would be like, that is
child abuse.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, no.
But
no.
I wouldn't fucking change it. I mean, I know, I'm so grateful that I'm able to do it and I love it. But like,
I wouldn't. Again, that's why I said I don't want my kids in it.
Yeah. I mean, it must be like, it's like a sport. It's like any sort of athlete, you know, when you push your kids so, so hard. But I mean, I don't know. It's weird because I think Tom and I disagree on this, where I would put my kid in this just because I do teach kids.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a healthy way to go about it than what we were shown as kids. And what I do see now.
Right.
And I also wouldn't push my kid. If I would show them the outlet, but I also, they didn't want to do it. They're not going to do it. I'm not going to like force them to be in it. I mean, my mom forced me to, you know, be a singer and a dancer.
Right, right.
And so much, and I hated it so much that I fucking ran away. That's insane.
I mean, I guess it depends on your kid too, you know, and kind of their strengths and if they can shake it off and how they deal with rejection and all of those things. Like, I know my kids, like Carter could never, he's so sensitive. Like, he could never take that. It's too much for him. Oh my God, I have a crazy story. I don't know if you find this crazy, but, mm-hmm. So the other night I put a TV in his room because he's supposed to get his tonsils out and he ended up not being able to get them out.
Oh no.
So, cause he got sick and they wouldn't put him under anesthesia cause he had a cough.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to get my nose cauterized finally. So the bleeding stops for once.
Crazy.
And then he's gonna go have his tonsils out like 3 days later, so we're just gonna sit in bed and snuggle together for like Aww, 5 days, which
nice.
I'm very excited about.
Nice.
And so we put on a movie the other night. We have TV in his room for the first time in a long time, and we were picking through, and I decided to watch Benji, which I haven't seen in a really long time, but it was the remake of Benji, and the lead boy's name in Benji was Carter. And we were watching it, and there's at some point in the movie towards the beginning ish, the mom doesn't allow because they hide Benji, you know, mm-hmm. and then the mom finds out and throws, says the dog cannot be here, get the dog out. So Carter has to bring Benji and put Benji out in the rain and has to go. And he's really sad about it. And the dog's got, you know, water, it's raining, and the dog's got, like, you know, trying to blink, and the little, his little tears slash water is getting in its eyes. And then, you know, he says, like, I love you, Benji, and then goes inside. And Carter, I was watching, kind of digging around doing email stuff. And he kept moving closer to the screen. He was sitting on the edge of the bed, and he turned around to me and said, "Mommy, I hate this movie. I hate it so much."
Aww.
And I was like, oh my God, turn it off. I didn't realize that this was the only like live action movie that my child has seen that's sad. You know, we watch like Spy Kids or like, you know, Fast and Furious. Like we watch like fun movies if there's actors in it. Otherwise, they're cartoons and they're not. It's different when I think it's a person and the person's name was Carter and he's his age and there's a dog in it. And he just like he felt all of those feelings that this little boy was going through and he could not handle it.
Oh,
he was like, I don't want to ever watch that movie again. I just didn't think about like, wow, this is going to touch him in a way that is too intense for him, even though he's six. Like this can't. And I remember seeing Old Yeller growing up and that fucking devastated me.
Yeah.
Watching it in school was like, I still think about how dare they show me that movie when I was young. Like, I don't want to watch dogs dying.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of that. I just didn't think about it. So now I have to be a little bit more careful. So I know my kid is so sensitive. He can't separate. Where Jagger's such a good storyteller and such a good liar that I don't know. I think that, he'll straight face lie.
So is Carter David and Jagger's you?
For sure. For sure. 100%. David's super sensitive. It's got to be what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Carter graduated kindergarten and he got they give out these awards for, and I guess they're different like animals instead of like you're the best this, you're best that. So Carter, ironically enough, got the eagle. And you know that's ironic because that's what David calls himself.
What?
He calls himself the Eagle Jew. Like his license plate said Eagle Jew because he was a jeweler and it just happened to be that way. And he grew up in Eagle County in Colorado.
Okay.
So eagles, like he's got eagles. His tattoo is an eagle on his arm. Like he's got eagle paintings. Like it's like his thing. So the fact that nobody knew that and Carter got the eagle, and the eagle represents paying attention to fine details. And what was the other thing? I forget what it was, but it was like, oh my God, that's your son. And then Jagger was
what did he?
His the was snake like
or the coyote.
His he didn't get an animal, but he got like his was like endless curiosity and always needing to know the truth about. Always needing the truthful answers to questions.
Oh.
Like he was like in search of the truth, which is me, because I'm always like, I want to know all the details because I need to know. I hate liars. I want to know all the facts. I want to know everything. I want everything to make sense to me. So I was like, okay, that's my child. He needs to know he needs all of the information before he can decide whether or not he thinks you're a fucking liar or not. And that's me. And then Carter's like, I'm just going to pinch to the details and soar above and work slowly on my prey.
It says that eagles are strength, courage, freedom, and immortality.
Oh, great.
Maybe,
go figure.
Maybe Carter's going to be, like, I could see Carter as, like, a therapist.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare, features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, 100%.
I think he would take it on too much, though.
Yeah.
Because everything hurts his... He's very, very sensitive.
He's, like, a lot like me.
Yeah. You're Pisces.
We don't like it. We don't like that we're sensitive.
He doesn't like it either.
We don't like it. We just don't know how to control it. There's too much going on up here. It's all in here. If he could just, like, if we could put it in a little box and put it away, then it'd be great. But there's something chemically, like, that just is not... doesn't sit right.
Do you think I'm not sensitive?
I don't think you are that sensitive. I think there's moments that I've now, because I've known you for so long, that there's glimpse of that I see, and it's really nice to see that. But you are strong. You are a strong woman.
What are the moments that you've seen me sensitive? Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, recently when you were struggling with not feeling well.
Yeah.
Your drapes.
Oh my God, that's so silly.
You're super sensitive about
it. But it's the it's the story behind it.
But I get that, because I probably would have been stressing out about that too. So much so that I you know, there's things that I do and I try to handle it a little bit differently, especially for Tom. It's not a meltdown, but I will like get anxiety.
Yeah.
I'll get anxiety and I'll try to like have to, I'm like, I'll just get hyped.
Right.
I try really hard not to, especially for Tom. But Tom is very good at going, okay, let's like figure it out.
Yeah, you get stressed. We'll you get flustered.
Yeah, I get flustered.
You get flustered.
And I don't know how to like just swallow it and go, all right. But
that'll come with age though, because I used
filming,
to be like you.
Easy.
Because you're safe there.
Easy, easy. Yeah, in my real life, I'm not safe. It's not safe. I need to be on set. I need to be on set where I know how things work, how things operate.
You'll grow out of it. When you have kids and you start taking care of somebody else, you...
I am terrified to have a baby.
No, don't say that.
I am.
Yeah, but who isn't?
No, exactly. But I've never said that.
But it'll shift and all your priorities will fall into place.
I think Tom is terrified, but he doesn't want to tell me.
Men are always terrified.
But I think he did. He said it like in a slang passing, and I was like, wait, let's talk about this. And
they
he was just like, you don't want to talk about it.
Responsibility. They feel like now they're going to have to do everything on their own because you're going to be taking care of the baby. Their second fiddle, like there's just a whole bunch of shit that comes along. You know, their sex life gets put on hold sometimes because you got to take care of the kids. Like there's just a lot of things that men have to kind of deal with. They are getting something taken away. Also, like they don't bond until they're a little bit older. We bond right away with our babies. So otherwise we'd probably eat them. So we have to, you know, to be able to keep them for them to survive. So it's just a different thing. And then I think at some point the men kind of will get there, but not for the first, I would say, until they start becoming like human, like people. They're not going to connect necessarily with them. A lot of men, maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to generalize. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure there are plenty of men that do. But I, from what I've seen from friends that have, you know, kids, their husbands, it took a couple more years, maybe like by two when they start being able to communicate a little bit easier. Whereas a mom, you're just going to know the signs.
But I also feel that way too, because I get along better with kids that are above the age of two.
Oh, yeah.
I can handle all children, but I can't handle like babies. Like even when I'm on set, I'm like, what the fuck? This baby doesn't want me, which I don't know how to handle that, because all kids want me. So I'm like, why does this child not want me?
But your baby will always want you.
Yeah. Hopefully. A little too much. Yeah. I know Tom and I were trying to figure out the scheduling already. It's so sweet. Dude. We met up with one of Tom's groomsmen, and I met them for the first time, and they had two kids, and I had mentioned something in passing that, you know, I wanted a kid, and the kids were like, oh, like, so they just thought that I was pregnant.
Oh.
So they were like, oh, is it a boy or a girl? And I was like, what? It's like, is it a boy or a girl? And I was like, we're rooting for boys here. We're rooting for boys. And these kids were so cute. They would call us, like, they would be like, Mr. Tom, Mrs. Scout.
That's, you know, because they're from Kentucky, right?
So cute. Yes. So cute. These kids are adorable. So you guys have manners. I love this.
My kids, they call everybody Miss and Mr.
Oh, I love that. That's good.
Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. The kids call me Mrs. Daniel. Well, they don't even call my Janet's kids. They call me Mrs. Daniel. I'm like,
Daniel,
just call me. My nephew calls me Dee Dee. I'm like, why don't you just call me Dee Dee instead of Miss Daniel?
Mrs. Daniel.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you something crazy?
Tell us.
And then we'll go into some of our questions. Okay. I don't know if any parents have ever, speaking of kids, I definitely had my first, like, I'm going to have a fucking breakdown. I literally do not know what to do. So I picked up five kids. So I picked up my nephew, my two, and then my friend's two kids. So there were five of them. And I had like 40 minutes to kill before I was going to get her other son, who's a teenager, because he's in high school or junior high. So I was like, you know what? I'll pick up the kids. We'll go to McDonald's. I'll get them all their like dinner, essentially, because McDonald's is like half an hour from my house. You know, mm-hmm. It's not like I can just run and grab them dinner. So they want fucking McDonald's. I'm like, okay, cool. We'll go to McDonald's. But I'm going to go in and order at the counter because they're all particular about how they want their
food. Did you leave them in the car?
No.
Oh, I know.
No, no, no.
I'd be like, stay in the car.
No, no, no. So no, you're not allowed to do that, Scout. That's like against the law. And someone could steal your children.
Or somebody else's children. No.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to order the counter because I got to check all the Happy Meals. I got to make sure they're all plain. A cheeseburger plain, chicken nuggets, double fries, no apples, chocolate milk, vanilla milk. I want two ice creams and I need a hamburger plain. Like, they don't want ketchup, mustard, pickle, onion. If
they get it. What the fuck is with kids? They want plain shit, but then when they get older, we all want
everything.
Shit. Yeah.
Taste buds change,
so
I guess.
So weird. Okay.
So I like to go. I wasn't going to order it through the drive-thru because it's way too much shit. And I thought, I'm not going to be able to check it. And what happens is I get home and my poor Carter's the one that always gets the fucked up one. Oh. And he's hysterical and then I can't drive back. It takes me an hour to go back and get it. So I'm like, you guys go play in the like fun zone where they have like the climb through, you know, it's all nice and it's
that
clean
shit
and really
is
nice.
Dangerous.
Well, it's dangerous after my kids go because Jagger had explosive diarrhea.
In McDonald's
in
play area?
The play all the way at the top. And then was so embarrassed that he was wearing shorts. It was all the way from his waistband down through to his socks. And I was waiting at the counter for the food and some guy came over and had kids there and said, someone has urinated inside the play zone. And I was like, oh my God, please tell me that wasn't my child. And then another parent came over and said, there's feces all over the play zone. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Because Jagger in the car on the way there was like, mommy, my tush hurts. And I was like, why does your tush hurt? I thought maybe he fell because he had like his like outdoor play, like gym stuff that day. Yeah. I didn't realize he probably had to go to the bathroom and didn't tell me because he was excited. So he went and it happened. And he was so embarrassed.
Did he do that by accident?
It was a total accident.
Oh my God, Jagger. Poor Jagger. My heart hurts for him.
He did it. And then he had to come down the slide to come down. And it was like all over the slide. And then he climb back up because he was hiding. He literally wouldn't come down. And then I was like, oh my God. So I have five children that are sitting trying to, I'm like, okay, what the fuck am I going to do? I've got to clean the play zone. He's covered. Now everyone's going to know it's my kid. I have to strip him naked. I have to take him to the bathroom. So another mom was sitting there with her two girls. I'm like, could you please do me a favor? Could you keep an eye on this group right here? Don't let them go anywhere. I've got to go into the restroom and help my child. And went in and stripped him. And then there were no fucking paper towels. There was no waste basket because it was just hand dryer. So I have like one ply toilet paper and soap and, you know, Jagger's like, mommy, am I in trouble? I'm like, absolutely not, baby. You are absolutely not in trouble. This happens all the time. Trust me. I'm sure he's not the first kid to shit in the McDonald's play zone.
Oh my God.
And then I had to go clean. And then I was so flustered.
Then you had to climb up the McDonald's
to get
slide.
Him out. Oh my God. Trying to do it. And then I was so upset. I left his shoes there. I was like, I can never go back to the McDonald's. I can never go back there.
I wouldn't
and then
be able to either.
And then the kids were like, where's my ice cream? I wanted chocolate ice cream. Mom, there's ketchup on my burger. I'm like, I'm going to fucking kill somebody. Jagger's naked in the bathroom.
And just to rewind the story, this was all in 40 minutes.
No, it was like 10 minutes. I had to go to the bathroom. I'm like, you're naked. I have clothes in your backpack in the car. Stay here. So I had to like go get his little shirt and his underwear. And then he was embarrassed to come out of the bathroom in just underwear and a t-shirt. I'm like, oh my God. He threw his socks away. I left his shoes there. I got in the car. I was like, fuck, everybody get in the car. And just boned out as fast as I possibly could.
So the moral of the story is
Make sure you take your kid to the bathroom before they go in the play zone.
Or when you have 40 minutes to spare before picking up the next child.
Don't drive 30 minutes to McDonald's.
No, don't go to McDonald's, guys. Don't go to the play area.
I literally won't go back there.
I wouldn't either. I would be so embarrassed.
I'm so embarrassed.
I like how it didn't happen to you, but that's like more mortifying to you.
I'm glad it was me because normally I don't do pickups. Normally my friend Jana does pickups.
Oh, shit.
I do the drop off in the morning, but she took in the morning because I had a doctor appointment. So I'm like, I'll go ahead and pick up. So I picked up and thank God it didn't happen when she was there.
God, I feel like mornings are way better than pickups.
Oh, yeah. I like to take a nap during the day.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? The kids are like on adrenaline times 50,000. It's insane. Every time I get kids after school, I'm like, fuck this. I was like, is there a morning class that we can do?
I got to bring all their iPads and shit during later in the day. In the morning, I don't have to do any of that stuff. I just put on noise canceling headphones on myself and call it a day.
It's crazy.
All right. So moral of the story.
All right. Yeah. Don't go to McDonald's when you got 40 minutes.
I mean, he shit before he ate McDonald's. I mean, could you imagine if it was after? Oh, God.
Man. What did the other kids, like, what were their reactions? Were they really cool or were the other kids, like, picking fun
or
whatever?
My kids or the other kids in the room?
The other kids in the room and your kids.
Carter actually tried to blame it on somebody else. He was like, it was that boy that left fast, I bet, because he's, like, a boy that goes to school with him and he's like, he's mean. I bet you he's the one that pooped. So, you know. So
that's
and then
great.
Nobody cared.
Yeah.
My kids didn't, like, nobody said. They didn't try to make him embarrassed or pick on him or anything. They were just like, you know, whatever. Where's my McDonald's? They didn't care.
Man.
So anyway, on that note.
That shit stuck with me. Whenever I did shit like that.
It was
like
a shit show. For real, yo. Whenever you did shit like that, what do you mean? Did you shit in a McDonald's?
I peed in class. You remember? Remember I told you that? I like peed because they wouldn't let me out because I was talking too much. But that time we had like cards that we would pull out. You know, when I got to my last card and we just come back from recess and I didn't go pee. And so I raised my hand. I was like, I really need to go to the bathroom. And I peed. I peed in my seat.
Yeah.
I had to.
It happens.
What else was I going to do? But, you know, I think I was like in the second grade or first grade or something. Like,
thank God Jagger's only in pre-K.
A little too old to be doing that sort of shit.
You got
to
go. You got to go.
Amazing. Okay. So let's read. This is just sharing some information that we asked. Sometimes when we are recording these podcasts, we ask you guys questions just to so we can have a better knowledge of it. So episode 36, this person is referring to. Hello, Danielle and Scout. Love the podcast and I've been listening every night at work. This episode has me rolling. To answer your question on what types of porn lesbians and gay people watch, it just depends on the person. Awesome. Depends on every person. As a lesbian, I myself only enjoy gay guy porn. My partner of 15 years enjoys only straight porn. Most of our gay guy friends enjoy straight and gay guy porn. They usually stay away from girl and girl porn, for they say too many vaginas for them. Keep up the good work, and I'm so excited. Looking forward to meeting Scout in June and you, Danielle, in August.
So she's gay, and she watches guy
porn. Yeah. And then her partner likes straight porn.
My bestie, who I stay with here, she's bi and she watches man on man porn. That's like her go-to.
Yeah, I've watched that. Man on man porn.
It doesn't do it for me.
But it definitely wasn't like my go-to when I watch porn all the time.
Yeah.
But I definitely, I was intrigued by it for a second, but it was mostly girl and girl porn.
Yeah,
I can't
too.
Do straight porn. It's just like, the guy just ruins it for me. It's like, for some reason, the guy is just like doing a little bit too much,
right.
I feel.
Right.
Then, and the woman's actually like making it natural. I'm like, okay, great.
Right.
But the guy is like, you know, showing off a little bit too much
posing,
for my liking.
Yeah, posing.
Not
for
like
the
your fucking favorite guy over here
God,
that you
I love. Him.
Big hands, small hands, little dick. I don't know what the fuck is.
Doesn't have a little dick.
I still have not watched his porn.
They're really good.
Huh.
They're really good. I don't know. I mean, you know what it is? It's because they're all about the women.
Yeah.
That's all that it is. They're all about like taking care of their women. And they're also like dominating them. I mean, they're taking control of the situation and they're making sure that they get off.
Yeah.
Which I love. I feel like guys in porn don't, they're not necessarily like, that's not their go-to.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for the cum shot or whatever, but I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
I'll have you read this. This seems urgent. This seems urgent.
I don't know where my glasses are.
And I also...
You read it. I don't know where the fuck I put my glasses.
Okay. Need relationship advice, please! ! Hi, Danielle. Hi, Scout. I have a pretty difficult relationship issue and would love some advice, insight from my favorite scream queens. For some context, I'm a 27-year-old woman. My partner is a 28-year-old man. We've been together for 6 years. I've struggled with body dysmorphia, thank you, and an eating disorder for pretty much my entire life. He's aware of my issues, and I'm receiving professional help. Good. Amazing. That's great. On to the issue. My BF has opened up about several kinks I didn't know he had. He's really into degrading me and making me say pretty awful things about myself. He wants to watch me. I think that's what she meant. C-U-C-K. He wants to something me with girls who are more his type.
I don't know.
Okay. He says and makes me say things like my boobs are too small. So and so's boobs are better. I'm getting used up and older. So he should fuck someone younger and tighter. Stuff like that.
No.
What the fuck?
No.
He basically uses my insecurities and body issues against me in bed and it gets him off. Since we started exploring these kinks, I've gained weight, gotten so depressed, I can hardly work. And my eating disorder has gotten much worse.
This is not your person.
I've invested so much time and energy into this relationship, but I think I'm breaking down. We have a whole life together, and if we broke up now, it would be more like a divorce than a simple breakup. I just don't know what to do, ladies. I'm really lost and unsure. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Lots of love, Kay.
It's not going to be more like a divorce. It's going to be more like a divorce if you marry this fucking sociopath and you get a divorce. So No. Are you happy? I mean, that's really the question, right? Are you happy? You want someone to treat you like a fucking queen. You're a princess. Like, you deserve that. You deserve to be... Because we're always going to have down days. So you want your partner, man, woman, older, younger, whatever, however long you're together, to be your rock. This person sounds like they're trying to put you under a rock.
Yeah, that's so weird. I mean...
And knowing that you have these insecurities and he's getting off on making you feel horrible about yourself. You know, eating disorders are very, very, very serious. And this, if you're working on yourself, this is, you know, maybe you're, how do I say it? Like, maybe you've allowed this to happen because of self-esteem and issues that you know you have. So this could be the first chance at sort of regaining and getting that back. And I think that will help you with your, with some of your eating stuff.
Yeah, I get talking dirty.
Yeah.
And I get like opening up about kinks. I understand. I think I've opened up to you guys about like my sex life in my 20s was very much like vulgar like that because mm-hmm. But it was for my satisfaction, not the other person's satisfaction. But using your insecurities right. that he knows that you have against you in the bedroom, that is not okay.
I mean, what would, if the roles were reversed and you made him say, I have a little dick and so-and-so has got a much bigger dick, your dick's shriveling up, I'm going to go fuck that other guy. Like, how would he take that?
What would he say?
Make him do it.
I wonder if you've brought up this conversation to him. If you've been like, hey, this stuff is not okay.
Yeah.
Have you had that conversation with him? Because if you haven't, it needs to happen today.
Yeah. I would say after you listen to this, you sit him down and say, I am not okay with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have been okay with this in the beginning. I didn't think it would trigger me. It is. It doesn't make me feel good about myself. I'm trying really hard to work on me.
Yeah.
And I need to be the best person for us to be happy. And life is too short. You definitely don't need this.
And if his response I'm not saying that you should jump out of the relationship, but like if his response is, how should I say this? Like kind and understanding and mortified that he even like made you feel any less than.
He might not know. Do you think he knows?
But like, I would never, like Tom, like anything that he's opened up to me about, been like,
no.
You know, like
you
even
use that stuff against someone.
But in the bedroom, no, like I wonder what that is. Like, is there anybody out there that like that's a kink for them? Like tearing down their partner in bed? Because maybe it is. Maybe that is a kink. But like you just need to let him know that is not a fucking kink for us. Like that's like,
I mean, I've heard like, good. You know, guys being like, oh, you're a naughty bitch or, you know, like role playing kind of
using
stuff. But
like her like fucking real actual things? Stuff.
No, I've
never heard of that.
No, me neither.
I don't know. Personally, like just hearing that, if I heard that from Danielle,
I
would instantly say what Danielle said. I'd be like, get the fuck out. But I just want to give, because you care about him so much and it's 6 years. If you need to have that conversation with him, have that conversation with him. But he needs to knock it the fuck off and starting now. And if he doesn't,
I don't know if I buy this as a kink.
You got one life. I don't know. You need to like figure out
some
what
weird
is
narcissistic
that?
Like sadomasochism, like weird shit. Like I don't know.
I mean, it wouldn't bother me if like if it wasn't using her
like
insecurity issues. Yeah, if it was like, I want to call you bitch or a whore or slut or
and you know
whatever.
You're not, and you don't think that about yourself, then it doesn't fucking matter. But if he's using things that you are already feeling about yourself, that you're working
okay,
hard
actually,
to
I'm
not.
I'm going to take that back. Because if there is something inside of you, whether A, like me, you liked being called all that stuff. I didn't like being called that stuff. It's just from trauma. That's what I thought I deserved. So I went and got help.
Right.
So this man needs to go get help. Because if there is, that is one of his kinks, there is a deeper rooted issue, I think, that he needs to go address. Because you shouldn't want to look at the love of your life in the bedroom.
And hurt them. Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that.
And it's not working for you.
Unless you're in handcuffs and there's like feathers.
Feathers. It sounds awful.
Tickle,
I hate being tickled. I told you, I fucking hate it. Don't touch me. Don't tickle me.
I don't fucking want feathers either.
Kick you in the face.
I'm sorry that that's happening. And please be vocal about that. Please, and let us know what happens, because that is like uncalled for and my heart hurts.
And it's hard to leave. But let me tell you, it's going to be harder to stay.
One life, girl. You got one life. You're 26.
Yeah.
You got one life and it's going to be gone.
You don't
want to
waste
any
more time.
Mm-mm. I mean, literally, when I was in a relationship and I enjoyed that sort of behavior and the guy enjoyed it too, it wasn't the right relationship for us, because we were two broken people and that needed to do a lot of work on ourselves.
Yeah.
But we weren't able to do that because we were staying in this toxic thing. And if he needs to go do a lot of work on himself, don't allow him to do that with you. You know, he's got to go do that on his own. Oh, God, I hate that.
I know.
I don't like that. I'm sorry, Kay. I'm so sorry. I wish if...
You'll get through this.
I give you a big old hug.
You'll get through this. We're sending you virtual hugs.
Questions about fetishes.
Okay.
Hi, Danielle and Scout. I just found out about your podcast and already followed on Spotify. Yay! I do have a question. What's your thoughts on guys who have a nylon and ball busting fetish? What the fuck
are
is that?
Are they two different things?
What the fuck is that?
Nylon fetishes. I mean, like women in stockings.
In
right?
stockings. But what's ball? But what?
Maybe like squeezing the balls.
Squeezing the balls hard. I've heard of that.
I know of people who want their ball squeezed really hard.
Your husband?
Yep.
What? Oh my God. Does it feel good?
Yeah.
Tom,
where are you?
Tom. He's probably on a meeting. He's probably in a fucking
like right before they come. You've never just reached down and just grabbed their balls really hard?
Yeah, I've done.
But like hard?
Balls before, but no.
No? You just like kind of slightly stroking them?
Yeah.
You've never like, when they've like gone up into the belly, you've never like pushed them down?
It's so weird because my ex and I's relationship and sex life is so gross and so much that Tom and I are just very sensual beings.
No,
and
so
it's
listen,
been really nice.
But
I don't think about those things. I don't think about like, what does Tom need?
David,
I kind of think about myself.
Start.
To be honest, but it's the first time in my relationship that I've ever done that.
But my relationship didn't start this way. Like my relationship started kind of all over the place, you know, naughty and fun and feisty, very sexual, but like not like intense like that.
Yeah.
And then it got very sort of marriage life, like very intimate and very, you know, making love and like, and then trying to have kids. And then it became a little fucked up because it was the pressure of having kids. And then, and only really in the last maybe like, I don't know, 5 years, I would say. Yeah, probably like after Carter was born. Our sex life has gotten naughtier, but better, but naughtier in a way that's like, oh, that feels really good for me. Yeah, do that. Instead of where I used to maybe not vocalize so much. Like I am, so I am for myself, but at the same time, I'm giving as I'm receiving. Instead of just being the giver to make them like me or make me a good lover or, you know, being, I'm not in my head anymore. I'm in my body, which is why when I know, like when he lets me do things that I know he likes, like it's a total safe place. So it doesn't, it's not as like crazy raunchy sounding as like, oh yeah, no, he likes when I grab his balls hard. Like, I think that when you're in that long of a relationship, you then kind of go back to that naughty stuff. But it feels different when you're with someone where there's total monogamy and trust and honesty. It's like a completely different experience.
That's interesting.
You might get there in a couple years. After kids and you're married. Yeah, you will. Then you get, I mean, because it's your partner. You know what I mean? Like, you'll want to play around and see what the other person's
into. I definitely have noticed, like, recently, like, I'm just not in the mood to do anything. And that is because, you know, I had that hip injury. Yeah. And it was like, I couldn't do anything because it was hurting me so much. And then I was working out so much and getting into the shape that I wanted to be. And I was finally seeing what I, like the results, and I was feeling so fucking like empowered. And then that injury happened and I wasn't able to do any physical shit for 7 weeks.
Right.
And now that
does that mean not having sex?
No, we have, you know, but not as much as we were before. I mean, I was in pain. And now I'm like, I feel gross.
How many times a week do you average?
Oh, not like very minimal.
What do you mean? Like
very
what?
Very minimal.
What does that mean?
I mean, like
what's average?
There was a time where
what's a bad week?
Like one
time.
Mm-hmm.
So like 4 times a month.
Yeah.
What's like? Is that normal or is that
two?
Is that bad?
We just like
week?
We're just I don't know. It's like a hit or miss with us. I mean, we went through that sort of situation earlier on in our relationship, and then we were trying to like find ourselves, and then I was filming, and then he was working. Like it just is kind of, it's something that we definitely still need to focus on for sure, 100%. And I take full responsibility of what's happening right now because of my hip injury and like not feeling in my body right now. Like I feel really bloated. Like I don't feel good, and I haven't been physical, like active. And when I'm not active, I get super down and depressed. Yeah. And I take it out on my body more than anything.
Maybe you just need to get off.
I did.
I mean,
I did actually when he was at Spooky. I did. He's down signing.
Oh my God. Why didn't you call him upstairs to help you?
Because I feel gross right now. It's like everybody, we're all the same. You know, we're all going through things. I just feel like, because I haven't been able to be physical, like I just feel gross right now. And he knows it. And he's like, literally, like every time I'm like, I'm fat, he's just like, stop. He's like, you're not, you
he
know,
he doesn't see you the way you see.
No, I know.
Men, I don't think they ever.
I think it's like, I need to be active to feel like, even if I just like take a yoga class, and wasn't able to do that because I couldn't balance on my leg.
Right.
I couldn't balance on my right foot without it hurting so bad. And there was a throbbing. My hip injury is in my groin. So it was like a constant throbbing for like 7 weeks straight.
How did you do that? It wasn't from fucking?
No, it was from hip thrusts with a barbell.
Oh, Jesus.
Too much weight. I think that was when I went to like 140. It was too much weight. I think the barbell was setting too low, and I think I did something to it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But anyways, we're going to Magic Mike next month, and Tom is so excited.
That's why he doesn't want you to go. He's like, bitch hasn't been feeling good about herself. And she's going to get there and they're all going to be like, yeah, baby.
I'm just going to have sex with Tom so much the week prior.
Yes. Right before you leave. You know, I have sex with David the day that I leave, wherever I go.
Oh my God, you're amazing.
Literally. That's like great. It's like drop the kids to school, come home, take a shower, fuck for an hour. And then my bags are, he takes them to school. I pack, come home, we have sex for an hour, and then he drives me to the airport.
That's amazing.
I mean, I want to like leave on a good note.
Tom and I are just so similar. Like when one of us is tired, we're both tired.
Oh, David's never tired.
Oh, see, fucking Tom and I are the same human being. Like we're literally the same. I think we need to force ourselves to like go and do dates. I know we go and do like these, you know, like 4 days at Disneyland, but like we need to actually like go do fun like little dates.
You need to have him take you out on a date.
Well,
and then you plan.
We're going out on Sunday, because he's taking me out for our anniversary, and then I have a surprise for him on Monday.
It's her vagina.
It's not my vagina. It's gonna make him so much more happier. Actually.
Oh my God! Is it mushrooms?
No. I don't know if you can hear me. There's this amazing massage therapist guy that he really loves.
Oh,
so I'm gonna have him come to the house and do a couple's massage, and then we're learning. Goodness, thank goodness we're about to end this.
Yeah.
Then we are learning our wedding dance.
Oh.
Dance lessons. We're actually gonna.
Oh my
like,
God.
This girl,
who's teaching you?
This woman that I found on TikTok. Oh she like God. Literally. She literally does wedding dances, and she will teach you the dance.
Don't you know how to do that?
No. But like, I want like dips and shit. Like, I want like a choreographed like dance.
You're so funny.
It's gonna be great. On that note, guys, thank you.
So, just so you know, for summer, y'all, we have a bunch of awesome guests lined up. So, if you are not on our Patreon, that is the only way that we're able to keep our show going as of right now. So, mm-hmm. So please join our Patreon. It's $5 a month. You get all of the videos. We do a ton of behind the scenes stuff. We do lives. We do all kinds of stuff. You get first dibs on merch and all those fun things. So, we would love for you to come and support us so we can keep making this show happen.
And it's so much better watching us.
Oh my
honestly.
God, it really is. Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Yeah, literally.
Romeo and Michelle, baby.
Oh God, Spider.
And come see it. Oh my God, I saw Spider. I had to tell you.
I know, Chrissy told me.
Oh,
she texted
weird.
Me. It's
I lived
so
here
random.
For 30 years, never saw him. I'm here for an hour and I fucking run into him at a coffee shop. His wife is so hot.
Oh my God, Chrissy, isn't
she's super
she?
Hot. Yeah.
I know, she's a hottie.
Yeah.
She's a hottie.
Take her to the bedroom in a second.
Oh shit.
I'm just saying. I was like damn. I'm sure they have amazing sex. I bet you.
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it looks like it. Their daughter is so fucking cute.
I know.
Oh my God.
She's the best. And she's so cool. It's like so stellar.
So cute. They were meeting Barbara Crampton there. I was like, what the hell? And then I ran into another producer outside.
Oh my God.
That I worked with on a movie called Inoperable.
Horror? The horror one?
Which with the horror?
There's a horror coffee shop that they
no,
go to all the time.
No, it's Priscilla's in Burbank.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of Dark Delicacies.
Yeah.
No, that's a DVD book signing bookstore.
No. There is a horror coffee shop that Chrissy's been wanting me to go to.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, and this is the thing is Spider said he actually has never been to Priscilla's.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, we just happened to be. I was like, I can't believe this is happening.
Oh my God, so fun! I love Spider.
He's
I love
the best.
I love Chrissy. We're actually gonna. Hang out next week.
We're
taking pole dancing classes.
Oh my God, I fucking should teach you bitches.
Oh my God, I wish you were not didn't have anything to do tonight, but like Chrissy, come over.
Oh my God. So next time I go, hey, but you know, I am here the night before we go to your bachelorette party in Vegas.
Okay. Maybe we'll have like
maybe you should have a little pre-party pole and I could teach you some tricks.
Okay, cool. I'll do that.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
you've never seen me on the pole, have you?
She's been waiting for my hip to heal.
Oh yeah. Oh, and maybe
to go back to pole dancing.
Oh, definitely don't want to do that because that'll fuck you up.
Yeah. Tracy Anderson. She takes Tracy Anderson like every day. She wants me to go to there. She comes and works out at my gym.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I train her. Well, not right now. All right, I can't wait to tell her. I can't wait to tell her.
But I want to taste her vagina. No, don't say that.
Oh my God. No, I'm going to tell Spider.
Oh my God.
All right, guys. On that note.
Happy Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.